May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, let's see if we can do this. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. All right, good. Got it the first time through. Well, my friends, this blessed Easter morning, we rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, bodily from death's dark veil. The grave cannot hold him. Satan has lost. Sin's penalty is paid. The promises of yore have been fulfilled. God has not only come to us in the person of Jesus Christ, not only has our Savior offered his life as a ransom for many upon the cross, he has neutralized the foe that we fear the most, death itself. This, dear friends, is good news, and it's something that we shouldn't keep to ourselves. Before Christ, Isaiah announced this wonderful news in the form of a promise from God. The prophet describes a day when the whole of creation will be made new. Lions and lambs will lie down together at peace. Our labors will no longer be in vain. Our children will inherit calamity no more. The serpent, Satan himself, will no longer have destructive sway because God's reign will hold throughout the entirety of his domain. It's a promise that still remains in many ways for us to yet experience, but we look forward to it in the new heavens and new earth. But it is still a promise that is fulfilled in Christ Jesus himself, the harbinger, the forerunner of the new creation, now risen in eternal glory, a glory that we expect to share by faith. That is good news indeed. After Christ's resurrection and return to glory, we also find in our Acts reading that someone else is announcing this good news. Peter, as he stands before Cornelius the centurion, along with other members of his household, and also other Gentiles from outside of Cornelius' household. The apostle very succinctly describes this gospel message from the messianic promise to its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, proven by his life, death, and resurrection. He then invites his Gentile audience to respond in faith, saying this: "Everyone who believes in him, our Lord Jesus Christ, receives forgiveness of sins through his name." How marvelous that our Heavenly Father has made a way to defeat the power of sin in our lives and restore us back to right relationship with himself and with our neighbors. This is wonderful news. Of course, on Easter Sunday, we expect to hear the good news directly from the Gospels themselves. And so we find St. Luke, the meticulous historian that he was, recording the angelic vision that the visitation of the empty tomb that of Mary Magdalene and all the company that they first saw. These women were the first preachers of the good news when they ran back to tell the other disciples that Jesus was risen. On a side note, this historical reality should be a consideration for those who may have trouble with female clergy. Maybe they should take these faithful women, the first preachers about the empty tomb, into account before dismissing God's call for half the population. But back to our main point. Jesus Christ is risen indeed, and we know this because people have been proclaiming this astonishing, exciting news from the very earliest testimonies of the church onward to this very day. That means we should not be negligent in preaching the good news of our risen Savior ourselves. Here at St. Francis this morning, we will be baptizing four souls from a few months to a few years to a few decades old. And whether we're affirming our faith in the risen Lord for ourselves with an adult understanding, or having someone affirm that faith on our behalf until we can come to own that faith in a mature way later on at confirmation, we make promises that commit us to continue the spread of this wonderful message in both word and deed. So I invite you, either if you have your little service leaflet, you can follow along, or you can turn to page 301 in the Book of Common Prayer, because we're going to take a look at these wonderful promises that compel us to spread the good news of our Savior. Page 301 in the Book of Common Prayer. First, we engage in a vestigial form of the exorcism rite, believe it or not, that preceded all baptisms from the earliest days. Thus, we renounce sin and Satan and promise to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This public announcement of our faith serves notice to those both in the natural and the spiritual realms of our seriousness to act on the conviction that Jesus is who he says he is. On top of that, parents, sponsors, and the congregation as a whole all promise to do all that they can to help those being baptized to grow in their commitment of faith. This is a charge to keep of utmost gravity, because it involves matters of eternal consequence. So chew on that for a moment. We announce this good news publicly by saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And then we keep moving forward, and we join in the church with the church throughout the ages in confessing the Apostles' Creed, that baptismal symbol that summarizes our faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the very God who made all things, who came to rescue us through the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, and who fills us with himself in the person of the Holy Spirit to adopt us into God's family, the church, and to purify us from all sin until that day when Christ returns, heaven comes to earth, and we are raised from death just as our Savior was. We announce this good news each time we reaffirm the faith of the church that we have always believed from the earliest days. And then we turn to the baptismal promises. Of course, these aren't promises that we make as though we could fulfill them in our limited and sinful humanity. We make them by faith and reliance on God's grace at work in us to keep them. First, we promise to be steadfast in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. That means going to church each Sunday to be nourished by the sacraments, praying daily, and reading and meditating on the Bible regularly. These aren't hard in terms of time. You can easily read a short passage of Scripture and pray the basic prayers of sorry, thank you, and please in about 5 to 10 minutes. Sorry for any known sins for the day. Gratitude for even the most mundane of God's gifts to you, and then please for the needs of those around you and for yourself. And then, of course, just an hour each Sunday. But this commitment really isn't about time. It's a matter of priority. If you really love Jesus, heck, if you really love your own soul, this is the easiest of promises to keep, because the Spirit is ready and waiting to help you follow through on it every single time. We announce the good news by being faithful in the spiritual practices that build up our souls. Then, we promise to live holy lives as much as we possibly can in the midst of the real tension of living in this already not yet world, where the Spirit of God Himself dwells within us, but our old sinful nature is still struggling to overcome our good desires on a daily basis. That's why we must seek God's forgiveness and strength every single day. Not just during Lent, which we just finished, or just once a week, or worse, just waiting until we get into a jam so big that we've left lasting damage in our lives and the lives of others. Life is too short to let sin of any kind sideline our pursuit of purity with God's help each step of the way. So, we announce the good news when we stay on top of the daily battles that we face with temptation. Next, we promise to keep proclaiming the good news by our words and the example of how we live. And shyness is no excuse. We are to let our lives be our loudest testimony. Jesus is alive. We can become preachers and teachers, of course, as the Lord gifts us, but simply inviting our neighbors and loved ones to church, reaching out to serve those who need, putting our commitment to Jesus above our desire maybe to watch the game or to go to a concert we're interested in, doing a good turn daily, as maybe some of you Boy Scouts out there would remember. Being open and genuine just about how much the Lord means to you. Or demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit among people who are tough to get along with. These are all ways that we actively announce the good news. And finally, we seek to serve Christ in all persons and promote godly justice in this world as much as it's possible to do. This is a way for us to model the kingdom of heaven to other people around us. We make Christ's love tangible. We show the world that God values the weak, the outcast, the poor, the needy, the suffering. People who always seem to get short shrift in our society, which always seems to favor the rich, the powerful, the famous, the talented. In our advocacy for others and relationships with others, we try to implement what God thinks is good, true, beautiful, just, and peaceful. We try to reach out and reconcile with others as much as we possibly can because Jesus has taken the initiative to reconcile with us first through the cross. In these concrete ways, we not only announce the good news, we show the world that they themselves can taste and see that the Lord is good. As we pray for our baptismal candidates here today and around the world this Easter Sunday, as they are buried with Christ in His death and risen with Him in His resurrection, in those holy waters, take a moment to evaluate your own witness. We are always invited to revisit our commitment to our baptismal promises each time the font is open or that we liturgically renew our baptismal vows at other points during the year. But today, I really want you to take stock of your own faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Our Lord's faithfulness to you is without question. He died and defeated sin and death for you, the proof of which is that He is risen from the dead. But have you been faithful to Him? Have you been announcing the good news in your words, in your actions, in your daily struggles against sin, in your commitments, in the way that you relate to other people? Is your life truly your loudest testimony? Do people who know you see Jesus at work in your life? Would a complete stranger who meets you ask you about your faith based on your lifestyle? I hope so. I pray that prayer for myself in my own life. This Easter Sunday is as good a time as any to renew your own commitment to both the man and the message, to Jesus and the good news of his death-defeating love. If this is your hope, and if this is your desire, I invite you once again to turn in your prayer books to page 833, and let us say together the prayer attributed to St. Francis. Page 833. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.